Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
And welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. It's a dynamic day to start off with. I got an email this morning early from Dr. Bob Teal, who's been on the program regularly for years. He's one of the senior people in the Continuing Church of God. And, of course, he did a teaching last weekend. And it's kind of very prophetic because he actually raised a number of issues that we're going to talk about today regarding Syria, Iran, and Israel. So let's start from the top, Dr. Bob. I'm going to post your article up that you did, that you taught in the church. And I want people to understand this is all biblically based. So it's really not open to a lot of alternative opinion. I mean, it's there. You don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But it's also tied to what I call the most apocalyptic president we've ever had, which is Donald Trump, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, making this deal with Iran, which I know they had to do because the other deal was terrible. The sunset clause that allowed Iran to have weapons, if they're not developing them now, you know, surreptitiously. But this is brought about an attack that happened literally within 48 hours of the deal being broken by America on Israel, and the counterattack by Israel against and killing Iranian soldiers. So this is really heating up. And there's not just like there's 2,000 American soldiers on the ground. There's 105,000 Iranian soldiers in Syria supposedly fighting with us against ISIS, which, by the way, is partly our creation. We have to reface that. That's where John McInsane was there doing selfies in 2009 in a town near Amman, Jordan, with CIA operatives and some elements of Mossad. People need to start understanding that Donald Trump is very apocalyptic, isn't he?
Well, as I mentioned before, I wrote a book called Donald Trump and America's Apocalypse. And what's interesting about that was I think I listed 20 reasons that Donald Trump, I said, would be apocalyptic. And I think at least 18 have already happened, if not part of all 20. And now, as far as what's going on now, though, it's very interesting. You mentioned, you know, the move of the embassy to Jerusalem, and I think they officially are going to open that up in 4 days. But what was going on was last Saturday, I did a short message. We call them a sermonette, so it's a short message for church. And I decided to do one regarding Iran, Syria, and Israel. And it was called Iran and Syria versus Israel. And my son posted it, I think, a few days ago, probably on Monday, up online. Let me just read the first sentence from what we how we described it online. Could Iran and Syria combined to attack the state of Israel? Then my next sentence was, the media has placed its hopes on Russia to prevent such a conflict. Okay, well, what's happened in the last, as you said, in the last 48 hours? Before I went to bed last night, I saw a report that Iran had attacked Israel from bases in Syria to the area called the Golan Heights. Now, Israel attained the Golan Heights in the 1967 war, and Syria considers it their territory. Now, today, Iran is saying that they don't have a military presence in Syria, and that they were not the ones who launched anything. And if that's the case, okay, if that's the case, then Iran didn't lose anything. But according to Israel, Israel launched 60 surface-to-air missiles and air-to-surface missiles, excuse me, and then 10 surface-to-surface missiles. Supposedly hit 70 installations and supposedly eliminated most of Iran's positions, military positions in the country of Syria. Now, the reason this is interesting from a prophetic perspective is a couple-fold. There's actually something that was interesting, believe it or not, in the New York Times that I just read a few moments ago. I want to read a quote from this guy. His name is Amir Tumaj. He's a research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. And he said, "The strategy for Iran is to make Syria into a viable front, like southern Lebanon, for both offensive and defensive purposes, should another major war break out between Hezbollah and Israel. And Iran's also bringing in defensive assets into Syria, such as the Tor air defense system." And so basically what this is saying is, hey, some people believe that Iran is getting ready and at some point in time to perhaps attack Israel. Now, from a prophetic perspective, there's something that we've talked about before on your program, and that has to do with something called the Valley of Vision. Now, this comes from the Old Testament. This comes from the book of Isaiah. Now, what's interesting about this, from my perspective, before I go into it, is that you would assume that the Jews would be familiar with these passages. But based on some statements some of their leaders said today, either they don't believe them or they don't think they're applicable. So let me.
I'll tell you part of the reason why, and I'll just insert this for 20 seconds. In terms of Daniel, is one of the prophecies actually a Magi. He was actually from Iran. People don't know that. And what happened is the rabbinic council had decided that they don't want to accept the writings of Daniel, which support a lot of this perspective that ties to other Old Testament prophecies, because they don't want to believe that the Magi, who actually came and gave gifts to Jesus, including Daniel, who was of the Magi school in Iran, or Persia at the time, because remember now it was King Cyrus of Persia that allowed the Jews to return to build the Temple of Zerubbabel in the 5th century B.C. So people don't understand this kind of strange yes and no connection between Iran and Israel, ancient Israel. Interesting, eh?
Yeah, they've all, you know, there's been a connection actually up until the time of the fall of the Shah of Iran. Iran and Israel were actually very close.
Right.
Well, anyway, getting back to prophecy.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit from the New King James Version of the Bible, not because it's a perfect translation, but it uses the English like those of us in this country tend to use. Okay, starting verse 1, it talks about the burden against the valley of vision.
Right.
It says there's a lot of noise, there's slain men, there's all kinds of things going on. In verse 5, it's a day of trouble and treading down perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls into the crying to the mountain. Now, here's where it gets really interesting with what's going to happen eventually over there. Now, not what's happened yet. What has happened yet is not the fulfillment of this. But let me read this in verse 6. Elam, and that the Elamites were part of Persia, bore the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen. And Kir, that's K-I-R, uncovered the shield. Now, Kir, when you do some research, shows that these people were near Damascus and other things. So we're talking about something in the area of Syria and Persia, Iran, getting together. Verse 7, it shall come to pass that your choices valley shall be full of chariots. So some kind of war is going to happen, and horsemen shall set themselves right against the gate. Now, here's where those who live in Israel should pay close attention. Verse 8. He, I'm presuming this is God, removed the protection of Judah. Huh? Okay, now, the reason I'm bringing this up is I read this stuff today, and Jewish or Israeli leaders are saying, oh, we have our Iron Dome, and it shot down 4 missiles, but I think there were actually 20 that were sent by Iran, if Iran sent them. Okay, there were 20 that were sent. The Iron Dome knocked down 4, and they claim that the other 16 didn't make it out of Syria. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But they're thinking that their Iron Dome is what's going to protect them. When God removes his protection from them, they're going to have a big problem. because it says, because right after that scripture, you remove the protection of Judah. The second half of that verse says, you looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. So in other words, they're looking, hey, we've got an anti-missile defense system. Now, I realize that when Isaiah was inspired to write this, he didn't write terms such as anti-missile defense systems. Okay?
Right.
It just, it fits. It really fits. And in verse 9, you saw the damage to the city of David, that it was great. Now, this is not destruction of the entire portion of Jerusalem, by the way. And the Iranians don't want to destroy all of Jerusalem. I want to make that clear. They would like to eliminate the Israelites from various parts of it.
Well, they actually call the Mount of Olives area, which they want for Al-Quds, which is the head of a conjoint Shiite-Sunni caliphate. And they have prophesied the coming together of Sunni and Shiite on the Mount of Olives. And they're actually negotiating with the United Nations. And believe it or not, Donald Trump, behind the scenes, the United Nations, and the Pope all agree. Isn't that wild?
They want this Islamic Federation.
Right, and this will bring the peace that we're talking about after this period of warlike behavior. Shoppers for the truth, here's the place to get the best truth you can get at the best price, which is free. You just need some prayer, consideration, and once you find out the truth, take action. So, Dr. Bob, let's continue. I think this article, actually, I'm in the process of posting up right now, is pretty serious because I believe we are the last generation of the secular age of mankind on Earth. I don't think there's any doubt. We don't have the timeline exactly, but we can tell. We're very likely near the end of the last presidency of the United States. It could be Trump. It could be the next president. I can tell you that Trump is definitely apocalyptic. Everything he's doing is actually lining things up for the final steps of the war activity, then the peace treaty that's going to pursue after. And he's in actually agreement with the Vatican and the United Nations and the International People Court of Justice, the people at the United in Europe, to bring peace between Sunni and Shiite Islam. And that's likely to happen after a period of warlike activity, like we saw just within 48 hours of this breaking this Iranian agreement with the United States. And Iran's statement that there's going to be grave consequences. They say they're going to stick to the deal with Europe, Russia, and China. These are very apocalyptic days, aren't they?
Yes, and you mentioned President Trump. Perhaps I should mention back in December 2015, I said that should he get in, he was going to do something to help form what the Bible calls the King of the South. Now, the King of the South is a power that includes nations in the Middle East and North Africa, pretty much all of which are predominantly, well, actually all of which are predominantly Muslim. And President Trump has done this in different ways during his presidency, including supplying like one of the biggest arms deals ever to Saudi Arabia, as well as specifically call for a coalition of basically Muslim nations. And again, I want to make this clear. That is a continuation of the same policy that Hillary Clinton would have probably done, as well as Barack Obama. And also you've got the Vatican and Henry Kissinger and a bunch of other, I mean, there's whole people around the world who want this to happen, but they're not looking at Scripture. And that's the same issue that we've got now over in Israel, hoping that they're going to rely on their Iron Dome, yet, you know, the Bible specifically says, again, I want to read Isaiah 22:8, and the listeners, you can look it up in any translation. It's going to tell you pretty much the same thing. Does he remove the protection of Judah? You looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. So these people think that they were protected because they've got this military, this armor, and it's just not going to happen, and there's going to be damage to the city of David, and it's going to be very great. Now, I mentioned, in conjunction with President Trump, I mentioned something about a power called the King of the South. Now, there are some people who erroneously believe that Iran is going to be the King of the South. But if you look at where Jerusalem is, Iran is pretty much directly east of Jerusalem. It's not really south.
Yeah.
And I've long felt that Iran would be neutralized. And, you know, Israel, if you've been following the press, actually last month or so, but even the last day, Israel's basically threatening Iran left and right. And Iran, as we've discussed before in the show, Iran wants to cause chaos because they believe it's something a little bit different than the Sunni Muslims. The Iranians are Shiite Muslims.
Right.
They believe that there's this guy who's been in suspended animation since around the 8th century or 9th century, and he's going to become the Imam Mahdi, who, by the way, many of the descriptions that the Sunnis have of this guy sounds like he's this king of the south of the Bible. Now, the one that the Iranians want to do does not exist. I do not believe that this guy's been supernatural suspension for 1,500 years or 1,400 years, whatever the number is, 1,200 years, over 1,000 years. He's not been that way. But because of their belief, Iran a few years ago did a video about them taking over Jerusalem, coming in there, and that all the Arabs, other Muslims, are going to follow Iran. And that's what these people actually think. But I think that they, just like the Israelis are overly confident, I think that the Iranians are overly confident. I'm not going to read Jeremiah 49:34-38, but basically, I'll read one part of it. It says, against Elam I'll bring the four winds, I will cause them to be dismayed before their enemies. I will bring disaster upon them, okay? Until I will send a sword against them until I've consumed them. So we've got a prophecy in Jeremiah talking about Elam, Persia, Iran getting destroyed.
Now, right. In fact, I think it talks about the western part of Iran, which is right at the Bashar reactor, and says the inhabitants of that part of Iran, which is near the old capital of Isfahan, the capital of Media, will be distributed to the whole world. In other words, the destruction will be so great, it'll be uninhabitable there. And we talked about this before in previous shows, that it's very likely that Israel, who is already tempted and has the long-range refueler bombers from us, so their bombers could actually get back from Israel, because it's 1,500 miles from Israel to Iran, and without our refueling tankers, they couldn't make the trip and drop the bombs and get back to Israel.
Well, right now, again, Israel has confidence that they're going to scare off Iran, and Iran doesn't agree with that. They don't believe it at all. And again, when I look at prophecy, I can see that that Israel's going to lose its protection. Now, one of the things in biblical prophecy, and many of your listeners are probably familiar with this, there's a prophecy in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that talks about a deal to be made, a covenant that's going to be confirmed by a prince for 7 years. And generally speaking, most people who've looked at this from a prophetic perspective believe it's a 7-year deal. It's determined the book of Daniel is sevens or a week.
Right.
It's considered to be a 7-year deal. It's going to be broken in the middle of the deal. Now, we don't have such a deal yet. And when this deal happens, that's a big, big deal. So that's pretty much the countdown to the Great Tribulation and the return of Jesus. Once that deal
right.
is confirmed by this prince, well, how are we going to get a peace deal? Donald Trump, as president, decided, hey, what the Bush presidency tried to do, the Clinton presidency tried to do, and the Obama presidency tried to do didn't work. So he tried something else.
Right.
Guess what? It didn't work either. Okay.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be any deal ever. But as you and I have discussed in the past, most of the time, to get a peace deal, you need war first.
Right.
And now Syria, this is kind of interesting. Syria is technically, I think, still in the state of war against Israel. I don't think they ever stopped their state of war. It's kind of
right.
like the situation with North Korea. North Korea has an armistice, more or less, with the United States and South Korea, but they haven't actually declared an end to the Korean War. Now, it's possible, because they think the United States might bomb them, that they may decide now to come out, Koreans, that is, to make a deal to close that war out. We'll see. But in the Middle East, you've got the Palestinians who have particular positions. You've got the Israelis who have particular positions, and they don't seem to have any reason they want to compromise, and their positions are in conflict. You can't do the minimum that either side wants to get a deal.
Right.
Therefore, it might take armed conflict for that to occur.
In other words, for a deal to be fomented after a period of conflict, right?
people are more likely to accept a deal after a period of severe conflict. Absolutely.
Exactly, yeah. That makes sense. Back in a moment, Dr. Bob Thiel. I think they're quite correct. Now, this agreement is interesting. If you look at Adnan Oktar, and we've talked about this guy, he's the most published and video and audio as well as published Turkish, you want to call it, celebrity, a Muslim. And he wants to bring together, along with this new prince in Saudi Arabia, a caliphate on the Mount of Olives. They call, the Iranians call, Al-Quds, which is their new head of this caliphate. And they want to bring in together a peace accord, because one of the things about the emergence of the Imam Mahdi is that he's going to bring together Sunni and Shiite Islam. In fact, that's his great accomplishment, is to actually bring together Sunni and Shiite Islam and bring peace to Islam. And people don't understand that peace to Islam is actually a prelude to the times of great trouble. The false peace, which is the agreement, according to Adnan Oktar, as well as this prince from Saudi Arabia, believe that it's time for Israel to start their blood sacrifice in the Temple Mount. And there's a direct linkage with getting the Mount of Olives for the Muslims, or the caliphate, and the Jews starting a blood sacrifice. And by rabbinic law, and I've talked to the people in the council, and you have probably too, for over the decades, they cannot start that sanctification of the temple except with the kalal, the ashes of the red heifer. And the only day they're allowed to do it by rabbinic law is Sukkot. Now, if you take Sukkot and you count out 1,230 days, it brings you to Yom Kippur, when by the Bible it says it's going to be the sacrifice will be cut off. And 30 days later is Pesach, or Passover, where the middle of the 7 years, where the actual, if you want to call it the war part, the false peace is over, the war part of the tribulation starts. And the very last day, the 2,520th day, is Yom Teruha, which is in Hebrew the feast of the long blowing, or the feast of trumpets. So if these things play out, I don't know when it's going to start, but it's coming really close. It's like a ship coming up to the coast and there's a lot of fog, but you can see the mast of the ship. You can almost say, I think I know what ship it might be out of three or four ships. But as it gets a little closer, you're going to notice who it is, and you'll see a specific markings that tell you what ship it is. I think this is coming into the coast. I think where it's going to be very obvious that if in the first or the first part of the second term of Trump, because he's pushing very hard to push the international community, and by breaking this agreement, he's forcing not only Iran to show its cards, but also forcing a situation that could bring about a false peace and the start of the blood sacrifice linked to the caliphate. Because the Mahdi has to bring about peace between Sunni and Shiite, as the so-called direct descendant in suspended animation from Muhammad. That's his role. His role is to bring Sunni and Shiite Islam together. That's what's really prophetic, and people don't understand, do they?
Yeah, well, see, a lot of things regarding some of the things, you went through a lot of stuff. Well, let's just deal with the last one first. Maybe I'll get back to the other one. And that has to do, okay, first of all, this idea that the Muslims are looking for a leader.
Right.
A caliph, to be in charge of the caliphate. Now, the guy who is in charge of the Islamic State, I've said for years, he wasn't going to be the guy. He could not be the king of the South. People were not going to be, he's not the guy. But
Which guy is that now?
The guy that the Russians said they killed. I can look his name up.
Oh, yeah, the Russians said they killed. Yeah, exactly. It's not him, no.
Bakhtar, whatever his name was. Anyway, I said he couldn't be the guy. But,
right.
But the Muslims believe that the world needs to become Islamic. And first to do this, the Muslims basically have to unite together.
Right.
They're going to do this under a leader who is this the Mahdi. Now,
right.
Again, as I said, there's two different versions of this, the Iranian version, the Shiite version and the Sunni version. The Shiite version is impossible as far as I'm concerned. It's a fraud. I don't believe it at all. And I think when the Shiites get defeated to a degree, like if Iran gets neutralized, like the prophecy in Jeremiah I mentioned before happens, then I think that the Shiites will be more willing to accept a caliph or a Mahdi who isn't one who supposedly was in suspended animation for over 1,000 years.
Exactly. Yeah. In other words, they're not going to take a semi-literal view of something that's biologically not possible.
Right. So they're finally going to kind of get there. Now, one thing your listeners may or may not know is what Muslims actually teach about prophecy. One is that they're going to have a leader who rises up. And this is consistent with the prophecy of the king of the south in Daniel chapter 11.
Right.
He's mentioned in various parts, but verses 40 to 43 would be one section. The same leader appears to be listed in Ezekiel chapter 30 as well. Now, this is why I think it could possibly be an Egyptian leader as opposed to an Arab leader, because in Ezekiel 30 it's talking about someone who seems to be more Egyptian, but bloodlines are pretty similar between those two sets of people, so I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. But anyway, the Muslim belief is this guy is going to rise up. He's going to do things that they're going to like. But also says, Muslim prophecy says they're going to have peace agreements between them and Europeans, basically.
Right.
And they say that there will be one that's going to be through... Let me read this one. This one, the fourth agreement will be mediated through a person who will be the progeny of the Honorable Aaron, Moses' brother, and upheld for 7 years. So they actually have a prophecy that there's going to be some deal in the Middle East involving a Levite or a Jew, okay? Okay? And so that's consistent with what you see in Daniel 9 about there's going to be a deal in that area, okay? So
right.
Then it gets even, as far as I'm concerned, even more interesting.
Right.
They believe that this deal will be broken by this European leader, who would be the beast of the sea, Revelation 13 and other places. They believe
right.
he's going to break this deal. And then, and this is where even more fascinating, then they say that Antichrist will reign for 3.5 years until Jesus comes.
Right. Yeah. Now, interesting.
Not right.
You're not talking about the king of the south breaking the deal. You're talking about a European leader. Now,
yes.
You have to understand.
There's
a couple things that I want to throw in here that are kind of interesting. The first is Turkey is about a half baby step away from being a part of the European community.
Right.
And it's my feeling in the next couple of years, Turkey will be formally part of the EU. It means Turkey. Most people don't realize this. Has contracts to make M1 Abram tanks and jet aircraft, and the fourth largest army on the planet. They are no slouches. People don't get this about Turkey. Turkey is already what I call the post-Ottoman Empire, and they want the reemergence of the Ottoman Empire, and people don't realize just how large it was and how large the territory from Europe to Eurasia.
Right. It was Turkey. Turkey was huge. Could I tell you what I think Turkey might do with the King of the South?
Right.
Okay. I've been to Turkey numerous times, and
right.
the Turks actually sort of venerate Mary, by the way. I could be wrong on this, but what I think was going to happen is I think that the Turks will temporarily support this Imam Mahdi, not permanently.
Right.
And if you look in Daniel chapter 9, there's a prophecy that somebody who sits at the King of the South's table is going to betray him. And
right.
I believe that's when Turkey's going to betray the King of the South to the Europeans. So that's consistent with what...
I agree. I think it'll be tied in with the current king of Turkey. And, of course, this guy, Adnan Oktar, who's part of the architect of this agreement. Because Turkey doesn't want to be displaced by Saudi Arabia. They want the reemergence of the Ottoman Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And Saudi Arabia, although it has... a lot of money. It really doesn't have a large military. It has a small air force. It doesn't have the kind of population of military and so on. Turkey does. In fact, Turkey is gobbling up a lot of the territory of Syria. In fact, it's already made a deal to put a pipeline right by Aleppo all the way through south of Turkey, of Syria. People need to start understanding that Turkey's already carving up Syria. And if they moved in their army, Syria could easily fall to the Turks. People don't get this, do they?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I was in Turkey, we had a guide, and I don't know why, but for some reason he decided to say that the reason that all these problems are in the Middle East is we in Turkey don't run it anymore.
Right.
We ran everything. It was fine. And essentially the hint was we're going to do it again. And
right.
When I look at biblical prophecies that seem to refer to Turkey, I see them temporarily supporting this king of the south, but then betraying them. And so
right.
That's consistent with the fact that they're Muslims.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that betrayed them, was, by the way, were the British when they discovered oil in the Middle East. They booted Turkey out of there, and it caused the fall of the Ottoman Empire.
That's what the Turks teach.
Yeah. That's the truth, actually, that the Brits were the ones behind the scenes that kicked the Turks out of there. A couple of signposts here that might tell the prophetic word. I talked to Bill Salas. I was trying to get him on the third hour, and I'm still trying to see if I can get Bill on the program on the third hour today or in the next week or so. He did a lot of work in writing on this topic as well. It's very parallel with what you have. But we have three signposts. The first thing is Iran wants a caliphate on the Mount of Olives, and so does Adnan Oktar, this Turkish major media guy that's directly affiliated with the president of Erdogan of Turkey. Now, we tried to do a coup back in 2016, the CIA did, of Turkey, and the ones who triggered off and told the Turks it was coming were the Russians, because they had hacked into our intel agencies, and they actually told the Turks. So they cut off the coup against... Now, Turkey was ordinarily allied with Europe and America, but after that, they sort of, you know, even though we still use their insular air base, they have made major alliances with Russia, or agreements not to do certain things. And people don't understand...
They talked to the Russians before they did this attack, is what the media...
Right, they're actually having a dialogue, an ongoing dialogue, just like we have a dialogue to make sure we don't kill Russians while we're killing Iranians. Now, what I see is three things. Firstly, the Muslims are, with this agreement, going to allow the Jews to start the blood sacrifice, which Trump is supporting in the Vatican and the United Nations. Number two, the King of the South is probably the collective of Qatar, Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, etc., based in Egypt, all based in south of basically Jerusalem, the king of the south, basically. And to me, the one that's most likely, the Mahdi, is most likely this new young prince who's actually traveling all over America. This is a very cosmopolitan person, visiting Hollywood, buying up corporations or media, and even launching this project where they bring Sophia on, which is an artificially intelligent robot. The greatest danger that people don't see in the Bible, the greatest danger, the mark of the beast, is an epiphenomena. The real issue is AI, artificial intelligence. And Sophia is the incarnation of the greatest danger here, because an artificially intelligent robot that can think 15 trillion times faster than humans and had access to every database on Earth is the image of the beast.
Okay, and
that, by the way, was launched in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, last year by this young prince. People don't, and they also have this thing called the Palantir sphere, which basically is like the image of the trilogy of the rings, where they actually want to have this all-seeing eye. Well, this robot will have an all-seeing cybernetic eye on the world, and whoever achieves artificial intelligence first will capture financially and cybernetically the financial systems of the planet, including all these cyber cryptocurrencies. I guarantee you that right now, much of the trillions of dollars of wealth of Saudi Arabia is being moved into crypto. And once you have an AI system like Sophia, you captured the entire world. And it's not bullets, it's not bombs, it's data. And people don't get that Saudi Arabia is moving to a point to actually completely change their whole modus of their economy, not based on oil, but on data.
Well, today I sent you a video that we did on Iran and Syria versus Israel. Now we're seeing that happen.
Right.
But bringing up artificial intelligence, I didn't tell you this one. A couple of weeks ago, we put up one on artificial intelligence and prophecy.
Right.
Maybe I should send you a link to that. I go into biblical prophecies and explain how it looks like artificial intelligence is going to be used by the beast. Because, you know, when John wrote, for example, down what's in Revelation chapter 13,
right,
about being able to control buying and selling.
Right.
Okay. Now, just think about this. Up until the 21st century, you couldn't control all buying and selling. Are you kidding? Back in John's day, what do? go out in the woods or go out when it's dark, no one can see you, just pass money or gold or something back and forth.
Or just exchange anything. It could be pomegranates or it could be rabbits.
Right, whatever it was. But what happens when we get to the part where if we do go to just to digital currencies, okay? Now, it doesn't mean nobody could exchange a pomegranate for a book, okay? But in terms of directly buying and selling, that takes computer technology, and to do more of it, because they want to monitor it, it's going to have some type of artificial intelligence or software involved in there. So anyway, we put together a video. By the way, for your listeners, all these videos are free. There's no ads or anything on our videos.
Okay. Right.
But we put one called Artificial Intelligence and Prophecy just a couple of weeks ago out. And so we go into some of that. But getting back to the Iran and Syria versus Israel one, which is the one I sent you today.
Right.
Yeah, I thought, hey, this is a good time to talk about this to see what what's going to happen. And I just was, and again, I went to bed last night. So looks like Iran attacked Israel. And I get warning, and Israel responded back. So we are seeing events that people like me have been saying are going to happen. Based on what the Bible says, something's going to happen to remove the protection of Judah. Now, in the break, twice. You've said something I want to bring out on the air because you haven't said it. I haven't heard you say it on the air. Maybe you did and I missed it. And that is, you commented that you believe that the Russians have the ability to block jam.
Yeah, they did. They did with
the Iron
Cook
Dome system. Now,
right.
whether the Iron Dome system doesn't work because of the jamming, or some other way powers get around it. Okay, the reality is, according to Isaiah 22, verses 8 and 9. Israel's going to get hit, and they've got to be careful about their confidence. They don't have confidence in the God of the Bible. They are not reading or believing those particular passages. They feel that they just can rely on their military, and it's going to take care of it.
That sounds like ancient Babylon, doesn't it?
Yeah. Their own Bible says no.
Right. Well, by the way, I have two open segments in the first part of the second hour if you want to continue, because I think this is an important topic. I think people need to start praying seriously because people are not spiritually prepping. They're not physically prepping. They're not getting out of the big cities. They're not getting ready for things like an EMP attack, which could happen anytime. They're not prepared for a military conflict in the Middle East or what appears to look beautiful, which is a peace treaty, not only in North Korea, which is imminent, but a peace agreement in the Middle East that actually be with a covenant with death, as it refers to in the Bible. And the launch of AI, which, by the way, they launched this system, Sophia, this robot, which, by the way, was also on the kind of a play on it was on Silicon Valley, this miniseries out of Northern California. But what people should understand is the Bible prophesies that AI is the basis for the mark of the beast. And what you have to understand here is that when that happens, the AI system is not in Saudi Arabia. God showed me supernaturally, and I went there in the spirit, and then later 9 months of the day, that the Virtual World Project primary node of the system is a giant underground array of Cray supercomputers. Cray Computing was in Colorado Springs. And that system is a primary node of the Mark of the Beast of the Virtual World Project. Gates, just a few weeks ago, announced that they're going to put billions of dollars into a satellite system to literally map every square inch of the planet. Now, the digital GPS coordinate system down to a tolerance of 0.5 centimeters, including vertical dimensions, is also based in Colorado Springs. So what people need to start understanding is, although the front might be Saudi Arabia with the launching of this Sophia robot, the actual AI system to control the world, the actual mark of the beast is going to come not from Brussels, not from Beijing, not from Moscow. It's going to come from America. And the last president of the America is the beast. The beast that will use this system. Well, I know the things I think of America and Britain and Europe as one kind of empire. I don't think although we have these disagreements and so on, we're all Abrahamic nations, and we're actually just part. We may be separated by the small puddle we call the Atlantic Ocean, but I don't think we're really separate. We're tied by history, by geopolitics, by the World War I and II. I don't think there's a difference there. And although Europe, I think, will break this agreement with Turkey being a very powerful military nation, I think ultimately Israel is an unbelief. They're the fig tree without fruit. There's no fruit on the tree, which is Jesus cursed that fig tree because it didn't have fruit on it when he approached it because he was hungry. And when he approached it, because he did, it cursed it, and it died within 48 hours, I think it was, or 24 hours. So what people should start watching is that the final events are coming together. Now, I know that the Europeans are very powerful, but I don't think there's time for them to develop a giant military machine and bases all over the world like America.
I don't think they have to. As far as the Europeans, and I'll try to be succinct, because I know we're about out of time.
Yeah.
Daniel 11 verse 39 talks about a European power going against the strongest fortresses, which in this century would be the 21st, would be the United States. They're going to do it not because they're stronger than the United States. Europe's not going to be stronger than the United States, but Europe is going to take advantage of the fact it's an American ally, and I think we're going to allow them to do stuff. Because we look at Revelation 13, it talks about the world marveled at the beast, who can make war with him, because basically it's going to be deceptive. So, being said, I'm going to send you the link to the AI part two, so you can put that up if you want.
Yeah. Now, do you have time to come on the next two segments, or?
No, I've got people here, so I'm tied up. That's why I've tried to squeeze in this.
Yeah, I'm glad you can come on today, Dr. Bob. Let's have you back on the next week or so to continue this dialogue. Again, I don't have all the answers. You have a lot more of a lot of things. I have more of some other aspects. We're still in a state of decreasing confusion, and things are crystallizing into a pattern you can see is very biblical, can't you?
Yes.
In other words, all of our discussion will be swept away by the truth and the availing of the Bible. As they say, God knows from the end from the beginning, for to God everything is now. Isn't it?
God's word is true, so God knows what's going
to
happen.
Exactly. But to him, there's no such thing as time, past, present, or future. Amazing.
It's made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.